Hello and welcome to Conference in Review. I am Dana.
And I am Derek.
So if you did not catch the LDS, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the general conference that was held last weekend, we encourage you to go back. You can listen or read. They are all on the website now at churchofjesuschrist.org.
Yeah, this is not meant to replace it and doesn't represent the church. This is just our thoughts on conference. We love conference. We love listening to it. And we wanted to review the talks in the 6 months before the next conference, because there's another one coming.
Mm-hmm. Every 6 months.
Every 6 months.
And I counted up, well, we counted up the talks that were given, and I think I counted 35, not counting the sustainings and the information they give. Those are more statistical, so we don't really study those. So 35 talks, and you know, there's, what, 52 year weeks in the whole year, so, you know, we have more talks than what we can cover in the next 6 months. So
yeah, so this time we decided this week we're going to cover the introduction and conclusion by the prophet. They're both very short, and we thought we could cover both in this one. So we're going to review both talks. So the talk Saturday morning and the talk Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. So the opening remarks, so the very first talk was given by the prophet Russell M. Nelson, and it was short, but it was very, for me, had some very good stuff in there. So for one thing, is he talked about removing debris from our lives. He talked about the strength of the churches and its members, and one way to, best place to start strengthening the members is in the families, and he said one way to do that is to remove debris from our lives. As you know, the temple in Salt Lake City is being renovated. If you go to the talk on the website, or if you have the magazine, the Liahona that comes out every month, there's a picture there of them pulling out some debris in front of the temple. It's this old, it's like rotten branches or something that are around there. And right away I thought about something that I like to do for fun that I think has become kind of overkill, is I like to listen to books, listen to talks, listen to podcasts. I love podcasts. I think I listen to about 5 or 6 different Come Follow Me's every week. And but part of it is that I like to play games while I do this. And I found that I was getting in the way of doing other more productive things because I liked my games so much. So right away, as soon as I heard this, I'm like, I need to start putting some limits on myself. I have tried to delete the games in the past and just go cold turkey, but then I wasn't listening to talks that I would like to.
All right. Okay, one part about that I like is what he says is, as I have watched workers dig out old tree roots, plumbing, wiring, and leaky fountain, I have thought about the need for each of us to remove, with the Savior's help, the old debris in our lives. And I underlined with the Savior's help because we aren't expected to do it alone. And we can have the Savior's help. And learning how to get the Savior's help, I think, is what President Nelson is trying to teach us. How to hear Him. How to let God prevail. How to have a relationship with Him in our life so that we can come closer to Him and let Him help us. So I really like that, with the Savior's help.
Part of the gathering of Israel, and a very important part in the charge for us as a people, is to be worthy and willing to help prepare the world for the second coming of the Lord. I listened to a podcast, because I love podcasts, and one of them was talking about how we've been talking about the second coming of the Lord since the first coming of the Lord since he left. We've been talking, when are you going to return? And if you read in the Doctrine and Covenants, there's all this urgency of I'm coming, it's nigh, I'm going to, the leaves are turning. I don't know that's what it says right now, but there is all this urgency and you're thinking that was 200 years ago. That's a long time for us. And one of the people, and I wish I could remember which one it was, said that the word urgency is not necessarily meaning right away, but it is giving urgency in the fact that this work is important, the gathering of Israel, the perfecting of the saints, because until you have that joy in the gospel, I think when you share it, it becomes more one of sharing good news rather than fear. I think it's sharing the gospel is more about sharing something that brings you joy. Like when you try, I know that when you go to a restaurant and you try a really good dish, you tell your friends about it, it's so good, you should go there and try it. And I know that I found that some other Christian religions, it's more a fear of if you don't do this, you're going to hell. And we don't have that same view. It's more, this is something so delicious to me that makes my life so good that I want to share it with you. And I think that if we're sharing it out of a fear of something's going to happen or we're not going to have enough members, I don't think we've caught the whole picture yet.
Yeah.
Because this gospel is one of joy.
Yeah. Yeah, that he says the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of repentance. And when you look, something that I've learned is you have their talk, but if you look, each apostle and the prophet chooses what they want. If there's the numbers in there and they refer to a scripture, if you look at the scripture, those are the references that they want you to look at that go with the talk. So it's kind of an additional footnotes when you listen to the talk. And so you can get a little deeper meaning of what the prophet or the apostles wanted to portray by looking at their footnotes. And so footnote 3, it says the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of repentance, and it refers to Doctrine and Covenants 13 verse 1, which says, upon you, my fellow servants, in the name of the Messiah, I confer the priesthood of Aaron, which holds the keys of the ministering of angels and the gospel of repentance and of baptism by immersion for the remission of sins. And this shall never be taken away from the earth until the sons of Lehi do offer again an offering unto the Lord in righteousness.
Levi.
and so he says it's the gospel of repentance. And then the next line, he says his gospel provides an invitation to keep changing, growing, and becoming more pure. That's his definition of the gospel of repentance. The gospel of repentance is changing, growing, becoming more pure. And then he says it's the gospel message of joy. And if you look at the definition in the gospel, the Bible dictionary of repentance, it's very different than what I grew up learning. It's a change of mind. It's a change about yourself, about the world, and about others. Any of those kinds of changes is repentance, changing, growing, becoming better. And so that's how we gain joy. So great stuff in here by the prophet.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to jump over to his last talk at the end of conference. I think his talk was only,
It was very short.
It was very short. And basically what, he talks about COVID-19 and then he starts talking about temples and he talks about the four phases. And phase one is only qualified couples. So couples who have already received their endowments can be sealed. That's the only thing that can happen in phase one. So the temples, I know in Utah, they're all probably phase one, phase two. I don't think there's any that are phase three.
Yeah, I went through I looked through the list last night, and there are some that, and it's all the temples throughout the world, and showing what phases they're at.
Where did you find that?
Oh, let me see.
Temples in phase two can do the ordinances for yourself. So if you are getting ready to go on a mission, or you want to take out your endowments, you want to get sealed as husband and wife, or sealed to children. So anything that, nothing for the dead. And then it says they amended it to allow youth and new members and others with limited use recommends to participate in proxy baptisms for their ancestors. So specifically, so I don't know what the difference is, because we're only supposed to do it for ancestors anyway, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, well, if you have so not a limited use recommend, but the, I want to say regular, because I can't think of what they're called.
Yeah.
You can only do baptisms for your ancestors.
Yeah.
But if you're a youth, you can do the names there or other names. Yeah.
So the difference is you're only doing it for ancestors.
And I did find, it's on the website churchofjesuschrist.org. It was published on March 29th of this year. It says the latest news on temple reopening. So this was published before conference. But there is a link on here. As you read, it says update. Okay, so the update was made in April. It said, in April, 39 temples will begin phase 2B of reopening, and 7 temples will move to phase 3. See a full list of temples and their status. And you click that link, and it brings you up to a, looks like a PDF. And it has all the temples, and there's a list.
That did say 2B. Mm-hmm. So 2B is that amended provision,
yes.
right?
Okay. Yes, and I must say that there are in Utah, in fact, maybe in the United States, there's a few in the United States that are 3, but most of them, I know in Utah, none of them are past 2B, which, you know, is exciting for the youth.
Yeah, yeah, the youth basically can go.
If they have ancestors, then
yeah,
they could do the work.
If they've
work
done
for.
The work, yeah.
Yeah.
And then phase 4 obviously is back to regular temple activity. Mm-hmm. So he explains those 4, and he prays that your desire to worship and serve the temple burns more brightly now than ever. So I know we've heard a few conference talks where they've talked about keeping your recommend active, not just, you know, we don't need a recommend because the temple's closed.
I do remember when President Howard W. Hunter became the prophet. That's when I remember first hearing about having a current temple recommend, even if you couldn't get to the temple. Mm-hmm. That's when I first remember hearing about it. And then this last conference that was brought to the foreground again. I wish I remember who gave it, about his father-in-law who was... I think it was Elder Rasband. I think his father-in-law was dying, and the bishop came to visit, and he thought, oh, that's so nice of him to minister to. No, I'm getting my recommend renewed. I want to go recommended to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I, you know, these things you hear once, but I mean, when President Hunter gave that talk, that was 1995. Austin, our oldest, was born in 1995. And let's put that in perspective. He is, what, 26 this year? He's going to be 26, and yeah. He has a son, and he's married. So that was a while ago. I'm pretty sure Austin doesn't remember that.
Yeah.
And we always need to be reminded in these talks so that we remember and that the younger generation hears it again.
Yeah. So then I remember as he's saying this, I'm like, whoa, he says, you may be wondering when you'll be able to return to the temple. And he says, answer. And I was like, oh, maybe this is, and he says, your temple will open when the local government regulations allow it. And I was like, oh, well, I guess that makes sense.
I know here in Utah, the governor they had an end. April 10th. Yeah.
Yesterday, so.
So it was strange going into the stores, and there were people without masks. At one store, I was thinking, I've had COVID. I don't need this mask on. I took it off, and it felt strange. And it was funny because I remember feeling strange to put it on.
Yeah, I remember having a little anxiety the first time I wore one and feeling it was weird to put on a mask. And now not wearing a mask feels the same. 1 year later, you're always wondering, okay, where's my mask? Do I need to wear a mask? What a change in a year has made. Mm-hmm.
That's here in Utah. I know that I think most other states probably still have the mask. And I know in schools they still have to wear the mask for the rest of the school year. But our governor, I know he's working really hard to get the vaccines out to get things as normalized as possible. That's just Utah. I'm not sure what's going on in the rest of the country. We have family in Idaho.
One thing he says is, meanwhile, keep your temple covenants and blessings foremost in your minds and hearts. Stay true to the covenants you have made. So just because we can't go to the temple doesn't mean we don't need to keep the covenants. Keep the covenants we made. Keep the thoughts of those covenants and the blessings in our minds and hearts. And continue living as if we could go to the temple.
And I like also how he said, do all you can to bring the numbers down. Like I said, we had COVID back in the beginning of November. You and I did. And then later on around Thanksgiving, two more children had COVID. Actually, it was more than that. Some of our adult kids had COVID. Yeah. And then around Christmas, the rest of the family got COVID. So it's easy to think, oh, I had COVID, and to get really casual. And I know for me, when I first had it, right now I'm an assistant teacher. I'm not I just got my license. I'll start looking for work right now, but I'll start teaching hopefully this fall. And so I would encourage the kids that come in after lunch, and a lot of them would not have their masks on because they'd forget from lunch. They've just finished eating. And I was really diligent about keep your masks on. And I know that since a lot of people have had COVID this fall, I noticed that after our Christmas breaks, it started getting more laxed. So I like that he's encouraging us all to be good citizens to try to bring the numbers down. Yeah. And whichever way that is, I know for me, maybe I could be a little less lax in class.
Yeah. So as I was looking, is at the announcement for the new temples, they said the previous most temples announced was in 2018 by President Nelson, and that was 12. I guess there was another time when there were more than that announced, but they weren't in general conference. It was posted on the news that the temples. So in conference, this is the most temples that have ever been announced.
Interesting, right?
Yeah.
Especially these are all announced during lockdown.
Yeah. We think that everything's, instead of things getting slower and that they're doing more. And he says that. He says,
we want to bring the house of the Lord even closer to our members that they may have the sacred privilege of attending temple as often as their circumstances allowed. Yeah. Oh, before that.
Yeah.
We are building now for the future.
We're building now for the future. Yeah, that's what he says. That's what I saw. And so then he announces the new temples.
Exciting. Yeah. I think this is a little bit, everybody's candy part, their dessert of general conference, is you're getting feasting at this delicious, hearing all these messages. And then when they announce the temples, that's always the dessert. That's exciting extra that you don't really need, but it is so fun to have. We know if you listen to past conferences, you know that people would cheer when someplace special to them gets announced, and to the point where the prophet had to say, if there's someplace that's exciting for you, keep it to yourself. Just give a prayer of thanks. Please be reverent, because it was getting kind of crazy. And it's really exciting. I don't know if we live in Utah. I did not grow up in Utah. Derek did. I grew up in Indiana. I lived for several years in Southern California, and I went to school in Utah. My family members settled here, so I ended up coming back here. It's where I met Derek. It's interesting to note that every conference, there's a new temple in Utah. And I know before I lived in Utah, I thought, why does Utah always get the new temples? Because we need some out here. They've got plenty. Having lived here, I can tell you that those temples get pretty crowded, and it's really neat. You might think, oh, that's so inconvenient. And sometimes you do feel a little inconvenienced, but you know what? It's really neat when you go to the temple and there's tons of people. And so when they announce a new temple, these aren't just extra temples for Utah because, oh, yeah, the Brethren live in Utah. It's because the people are using the temples, and that's exciting. And I hope that those of you who don't live in Utah, who maybe have no connection to Utah, I hope that you're as excited. I know that you get excited to go to the temple. I know when I lived in Indiana, it was the closest temple. Originally started out, one was 16 hours away in Washington, D.C. when I was a little girl. Then they built one in Atlanta and one in Chicago, and they were both about 7 hours away. So we got to go more often. Then they built one in St. Louis, which was 3 hours away. That was exciting. You could do a day trip then. Well, a little long day trip, but you could go. And then when I left, by the time my parents retired and came out to Utah, they had the Louisville, Kentucky temple, and that was about an hour and a half. So they kept getting closer, and it was very exciting. So I hope that as these temples get closer to you, that because it's an hour and a half, you might think, oh, that's inconvenient. I hope that you will take time to get to the temple as often as you can, even if it is once a month.
I wanted to share something. I know Dana knows this, but several years ago, I wasn't attending the temple as often as I should, and they announced a new temple. I can't remember which one it was, but there's an employee that I worked with of another faith, and he said to me, you know, nobody goes to those things. They're just there to raise up the real estate. The church just builds them to increase prices and build houses around it because there's nobody ever in the parking lot. And I didn't say anything to him, and I've thought about that many times since, mostly because I wasn't going as often as I should to know. Well, a couple of years ago, I've been in the Young Men's for a long time, and we would go take the youth every week and go on Fridays to the temple to do baptisms. They would get up early, 5:30 in the morning, and go to the temple. And we decided in lieu of a camping trip, we were going to do a temple trip. And we decided to see how many temples we could go to in a week in Utah. So at the time there were...
It was 18 in 2018.
We were going to try to go to all 18 temples. And so we decided in that week to go to all the ones furthest away. And so we started calling to try and set up appointments to go to those temples. And that was probably the hardest part of the whole thing, was trying to get those set up. And in fact, in Ogden, which was one of the temples, we never were able to get it set up. And we started trying in August to get an appointment there. But I realized how much the temples are being used by the adults and the youth. The Ogden Temple, they were booked out through the end of the year. There was not a single time that we could get. You just had to come, show up, and stand in line, but you couldn't set up an appointment because every single appointment was booked. I thought, wow, that's what the temple that we usually were in down in Utah County. And that's our temple is the Payson Temple, but we go to the Provo City Center Temple because it's closer. And when we go, there's lots of other youth groups that come, and some of the youth groups are coming from a long ways because all the temples close to them are too full. And the Provo City Center is the newest one, so not as many people come. And so there were groups from Lehi, which was a half hour away. They had two or three temples closer. But they're coming to this one because it was less busy.
Yeah, people from Eagle Mountain, which is even further, right? I think that's 45 minutes away.
Yeah, yeah. We had and then there'd be groups from outside of the United States that'd come every once in a while, but it was a neat experience.
And it's interesting to note that since then, they've announced temple in Orem, Utah, which is in Utah County, and Linden. Saratoga Streams, and Linden.
Yep.
So three more temples are going up in Utah County.
Yeah.
So if you're not from Utah, Utah County is the county that BYU is in Provo. That's south of Salt Lake. So Salt Lake City, there's a Salt Lake County, and then just south of it is the Utah County where we live. And there's a lot of how many temples will that be? About
seven or eight.
So we currently have three, and then there's another three coming, or is it four? Another four. I don't know. There's going to be a lot of temples here. Where I know they say the temples will dot the earth. Right now they're dotting Utah, and this.
Well, they're dotting the earth. They are.
And
that puts us up to, I think it was last year we hit 200. Temples, and so now we're well over that. We're probably two. I don't know what the number is.
And this last one that's announced in Utah, Smithfield, Utah, is a town outside of Logan, Utah. Now, Logan, Utah has a temple. They are the second temple, I believe, that was finished in this dispensation. Okay, the second still functioning. So we have. So
St. George was the first.
And then Logan.
Yeah, that's still functioning, the church owned. So they built the Nauvoo and the Kirtland, but one was burned down and one is not owned by us.
Yeah.
And they started the Salt Lake Temple, but it took 40 years. So in that time, they built the St. George and the Logan.
Yeah. And Logan, if you're familiar with that area, it's not huge. I mean, Logan's a nice-sized town, and they've got in the little towns, Smithfield and Nibley and these other little towns around it, they're really small towns. They're not huge. There's a lot of farming. So it says a lot that the people who are there are using the temple enough that they need another one nearby. And same with St. George. So St. George is, there are more people down in St. George. It is a bigger area than Logan. It's grown a lot. You get a lot of people who are outside, people who are not native Utah, people who are moving there because the weather's pretty warm. It gets really hot in the summer, but it's nice in the winter. And so that's a popular place people are moving to. And their numbers are getting so big that they needed another temple. So Washington, Utah is a little town right next to St. George. If you live in some of these places, like I know Southern California, where there's so many cities that they're practically one big city, that's how it's like down there. That's how it's become here in Utah County. Logan's a little different. Logan is still, there's still spaces between them. And so it's interesting that little farming area where you have to go through some mountains to get to the next closest temple, which I'm not sure what the next closest temple is, because Idaho Falls.
Brigham City, and then you go up to Logan, and
that's
then
about half an hour, 45 minutes away. I don't know, maybe it's about a half hour. Half hour.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that these little farming communities down there, and I know when you come out of outside of Utah, you think everyone in Utah is a member, and it used to be that way, but it really isn't anymore. There's a lot of people who are not members who come in from outside. It's grown a lot out here. So
I think it's neat in Elko, Nevada. I drive out to there every once in a while for work, and it's not a huge town. But it's neat to think there's enough members there to have a temple there. So they are definitely putting temples in smaller areas. Mm-hmm. Vernal isn't a huge area, and they had a temple several years ago.
I love seeing all these in Mexico. I think it's the United States, Mexico, and Brazil have more than a million members. I don't know if Canada does.
Mm.
It's really neat to see how these places are growing. I guess Brazil's getting another temple.
Yep.
That's neat.
Mexico's getting two. Brazil's getting one.
Farmington, New Mexico. Burley, Idaho.
Casper, Wyoming. Helena, Montana. That's Helena's.
Yorba Linda, California.
Yeah.
So Yorba Belindes, that will be the second one in Orange County, California. So the Newport Beach Temple right now is, that's kind of in the center of the county. And Yorba Belindes is the further north. So it's between the L.A. Temple and the Newport Beach Temple. And if you go further south to San Diego, there's that temple. Yeah, it's really neat to see all this.
But I have no idea.
Grand Junction. My brother would know it. He served his mission. That was part of his mission back in the 80s.
Yeah, it's exciting to see so many temples. And the last thing he says, temples are a vital part of the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ in its fullness. Mm-hmm. So.
And I miss the temple. We got to go to the temple 3 times last year because our son, he went on a mission, was able to get his endowments before he left. It was part of that wave that they were starting to reopen a little bit. So he got his endowments, and so they opened it for just our family. Mm-hmm. And we hadn't been for months. So it was probably March or February of last year we'd gone. We went back, and I remember after we were done and we were in the dressing room, and I was with some of the female relatives in the dressing room, and I finally understood. You hear stories of people who lived far away from temples, and they'd have to save money, and they'd go to the temple, and they'd do work all day. They'd do session after session, and I didn't understand that before because it's long, and I feel tired afterwards. It's so much. But having not been to the temple so long, I finally understood that feeling because I didn't want to leave. It was wonderful. And I feel, as the prophet said, I hope that this has given you a greater appreciation. I don't know where he says that, but it does. It has. And I know that when the temples reopen, I know the people are going to flock to them. And I hope that you are one of those as well. And if you're not currently have a recommend, I'd recommend you become worthy to receive one.
I just wanted to add one more thing. He says, ordinances of the temple fill our lives with power and strength available in no other way. That power and that strength that President Nelson has referred to in several talks in the past. And if you haven't, it's a good area to study. If you are looking for something, there's some great references by him to what that power is. And in Nephi talks about that power given to us through those temple ordinances. And so
so I'd like to end this. It's been really, really a good talk here. It's been good chatting with you.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. We're always glad for anyone that wants to, share with us. We love the church. We love the prophet and the apostles, and we get excited about conference and hope we're able to give you a little bit of how we feel about a living prophet and apostles and the message that they are giving us. And join us next week, and every week we'll be covering another talk.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.